Howdy, 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 everyone.
Welcome back to a summer-infused episode of Tex-ish, the show about some things Texas.
And some things insane heat waves.
Super hot heat waves. We've got a couple of great things in store for you today.
Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter. And I just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women, but man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
But first, as always, before we go any further, we have your favorite segment.
And ours.
It is our not sponsors giving us zero money, no backing. We still have not made a single penny off of these not sponsors
yet.
It will happen. Be on the lookout for the coffee table book in a couple of years.
Gunner Bear, who is our first not sponsor?
Our first not sponsor for today's episode of Tex-ish is Awkward Side Hugs.
Awkward side hugs.
Sure, send shivers down my spine.
Awkward side hugs.
Bringing you as close to your in-laws as you'll ever get. It's
Awkward side hugs.
Please do not bring your bosoms anywhere close to my chest.
Awkward side hugs. Let's just be friends.
Awkward side hugs. Oh, how do I say goodbye?
Nothing better than a Sunday morning awkward side hug.
Awkward side hugs.
One time I was giving a friend's wife a side hug goodbye, and I accidentally like grazed boob on the, like, oh, you know how, yeah, you like wrap around.
Yeah, you wrap around.
Because if it's a side hug, it's awkward. But I'm gonna try and clasp the arm.
But if they get it up,
and then so then there was just like hand on boobage, and I felt like real awkward. I confessed to Jenny immediately. Like, we got in the car and I said I accidentally touched that person's boob.
I like how you frame it as confessing.
It felt like I was confessing. Married,
oh,
man.
Man,
it was an accident.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but you know, like,
I do, yeah,
because when
I
you
do.
Side hug, there's either the pat right. or the firm
grab
clasp.
Like on the shoulder,
and you got to get around,
you gotta get the meat.
This is the shoulder, you gotta get tricep
and delt
right there. So
stop grabbing expensive mics.
Sorry.
Stop touching them with your hands and putting them in your mouth.
Sorry.
Jake, he's been trying to deep throat the mic. I've seen him do it.
I'm testing it in case Uncle Laser comes in here and tries
to make sure it's waterproof.
Yeah, exactly. Happy Pride.
Speaking of deep throat.
Deep throat. Who's our other not sponsor?
Our other not sponsor is Pride Month.
Pride Month.
The month that every single corporation pretends they care about a small segment of people that they pretend not to care about the rest of the year. It's Pride Month. I'm still waiting on Bounty to come out with rainbow towels. It's Pride Month.
Can we even call them feminine products anymore?
Pride Month. They're everyone's tampons. It's Pride Month.
All right. Who here's gay?
I sent you the one of the guy trying to do the Pringles. Like,
so good.
Here at Pringles, we love our gay employees. In fact, we've been trying to be the gayest chip since.
I love the idea that at this point, most members of the LGBTQIA+ community actually hate Pride Month because of how far the corporate, like, virtue signaling has gone, where it's almost like, we would prefer if you just hated us at this point. Like, it would be it's fine. I almost wonder if they're like, we've been throwing our own parties for decades.
Remember when it was just a parade?
Pride Month. Yeah. I also, not to keep harping on but I thought it was hilarious that MLB did try to, they do this whole pride camp, because they really are the only sport playing in Pride Month.
Yeah,
so I guess there's this pressure to, like,
sure,
really hammer it home for the gays, but it's like, I have macho alpha straight friends who think baseball is boring, and MLB thinks that people who frequent like raves and drag brunches are gonna all of a sudden be into 3-hour long baseball games.
Mm-hmm. The disconnect here is pretty big.
Like, I love baseball and it's gay for sure, but
I feel like there's a way, I mean, balls and bats, but like, I feel like there's a way to celebrate Pride Month, even as a corporation, without pandering.
But somehow it's only pandering.
Again, I'm just holding out for the rainbow colored brawny paper towels.
That's going to be great.
The fact they've never done it is insane to me.
I guess it's just too expensive.
Maybe.
That's the other thing I like.
Is it too expensive, or do they hate gay people?
Maybe.
That's the real question.
True. But again, I also think, well, if you guys cared, you'd probably, like, you know, donate money. Sure. And the cheapest thing to do as a corporation is change the colors for, like, a month. That you use interns for that.
Somewhere there is a graveyard of brightly colored, sparkly product from every corporation just gathering dust.
Just like, yep, this was
just
a bad
like the
idea.
Google unicorn and the like.
It's going to be, you know how there's those pictures of poor, like impoverished country children with like whoever lost the Super Bowl, their Super Bowl shirts, because they print both. Like, if the Broncos and the Saints play in the Super Bowl.
Well, and then you end up with people in Africa wearing all the Broncos.
Yeah. So now, in like 10 years, we're going to have all these people with like Indeed rainbow flag t-shirts in like sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
And we'll think, oh, we know where those came from.
Yeah.
From the party.
From the party. That one party.
that one party.
Anyway.
Pride month.
Was that distasteful?
I mean, you know, it probably
wove in and out.
Two straight guys on a podcast.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. God forbid we have a gay guy.
Hey, we're a comedy podcast. Just going there. We're saying whatever we want.
I mean, so we had to.
It had to happen. Do you want to hear happen? See what I mean by mini strokes?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to hear about what happened once upon a time in Texas history?
Once upon a time!
It was October 14th, 1987.
Okay.
And that is the day that baby Jessica fell in a well in Midland, Texas.
How did baby Jessica fall into a well?
To this day...
What kind of well?
We're talking a very deep hole in the ground.
Okay, cool.
Water
well or oil well?
A water well. Okay. Oil is important here. So there... Baby Jessica was, and her full name is Jessica something, but she was literally coined as Baby Jessica because this made national news. It was in Midland, Texas. Her family was visiting her aunt's house, and I guess there was an open manhole, Pride Month, in the backyard. And at 18 months old, I can only assume she was either walking or crawling, most likely crawling. And you know how babies don't know things?
Yes.
She probably didn't know that was a hole in the ground.
Nobody told her.
And fell into the well.
Cool.
Actually fell into a well. 22 feet down, this toddler went.
Whoa.
And, you know, the family's freaking out. They go searching for her. And then they hear the Winnie the Pooh song being hummed from the hole in the ground. And then they probably wonder, why did we leave our child unsupervised in a backyard?
Question, why doesn't your well have a cover?
Well, you know... At this point, I blame the parents, not the aunt. But good point. We could have started with the cover over the hole. But maybe she doesn't she doesn't have an 18-month-old and doesn't have to worry about a small child.
Well, I'm just thinking you don't want stuff falling in your well.
Sure.
Babies.
Maybe they were doing maintenance. That doesn't matter.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
Baby
falls in the well.
22 feet down.
Hums Winnie the Pooh.
They realize she's down there, and it takes 56 hours. To get to her and to get her out, because the hole is so small, like you can't just dive in after her. They have to find a way to like drill beside the hole and then side drill to pull her out.
Yeah.
And so just a collection of engineers and oil field workers come together to figure out a way to drill a hole, get to the baby and get her out because they know she's alive. They can hear her moving around in there and stuff like that. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, The Today Show, getting national news coverage of people of this team trying to get this baby out of this well. Eventually, they finally find a way to get down there. And this is the part I thought was funniest.
Mm-hmm.
It comes time for the conversation. Well, who's going to go down this hole
to
get the baby out? And a local roofing guy said, well, I was born without collarbones, so clearly I should go down there. Because I can shimmy a little bit better.
Right.
And they were like, Greg, shut up. Sent a paramedic down there to get her. But eventually they got her out.
Hey, Ennis, you remember that time baby fell down that Johnson well? Oh, yeah, I remember. remember that. Yeah, you remember they tried to get old Bob from the roofing company to shoot.
Because he don't have no collarbones.
Somehow his neck is still there, but he don't got no collarbones. So they send down a paramedic because, you know, we can't be having people no collarbones touching our babies.
That was probably a little smarter.
That's a great dinner story.
And then, you know, she gets to go meet the president and stuff. Right, so moral of the story is kick your baby into a hole.
Good things happen.
Become famous.
Right.
So to this day, baby Jessica has been referenced to on Modern Family.
Yeah.
In different movies.
What happened to baby Jessica?
She grows up and just has a normal life. Sure. I'm sure she was young enough that there wasn't really a Honey Boo Boo.
Right.
Thing going on here. I think her family did a good job of we're not gonna have a reality show now.
I'm sure her family is also like, can we not focus on the fact that we let our baby
they were like, what if we were not making headlines for the rest of our lives?
Mm-hmm.
I bet the game show Wipeout would be the baby Jessica's worst nightmare because there's so many obstacles.
Do you think she has nightmares about Wells?
At least of about dark places.
What if she ended up working at Wells Fargo?
I like that.
Thanks.
What about H.G. Wellco?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's a whale watcher.
Maybe she's a welder.
Oh. Do you think she does well?
Welder? Hardly know.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
The best. All right, you want to hear about our small town? Where is it? two, three, four. Where is it? Our small town of the week.
Small town of the week.
Small town of the week is Concan, Texas.
Concan, Texas.
Where we're talking about summer stuff, 4th of July stuff. Concan, Texas sits at the confluence of the Frio River. It is one of the best places in South Texas, in the summer in South Texas especially, to go grab you a tube, hop in the river, float on the Frio for the day, maybe a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And it is literally a town of about 86 people, all of which work for outfitters of tubing, kayaking, river tours. It's just a temple, a well of sorts.
A hub, if you will.
A hub of people seeking solace from the heat in South Texas. And it's just a great, beautiful place. If you go to Garner State Park, you can stop by, go check out Concan, Texas. If you're going through Lakey, make sure you stop at Jim's Lunch. It's a great place to get some food. I mean, Friends Grill. To get the, what was it called? Now I forget, the Tim Leach, which is a basket of fries covered in brisket, little barbecue sauce. Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
We call that the Texas poutine.
Ooh, Texas poutine.
You know, it's called Concan, not Concant.
There you go. I like Concan, hardly know her. But yeah, there isn't even info on how it was founded. It literally, all I can find is Concan is a town that's dead in the winter, and there's a lot of people there in the summer. Have fun.
Yeah.
Concan, Texas.
Concan, Texas. Dude, I love it. That's fantastic.
I love it.
Speaking of loving it, you want to hear about our badass of the week?
Yes.
Our badass of the week is Mariano Martinez, born in 1944 in Dallas, Texas.
Who's that?
Oh my God. If you listened to last week, you know exactly who this is.
Last week.
So Mariano Martinez grew up with an immigrant family, and he was working in his dad's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't finish high school and decides to drop out.
Not because he's an immigrant.
Not because he's an immigrant. Because
he's stupid.
Because he wants to be a musician. And he's playing guitar in a band.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year and a half in, he's like, I'm not that good at this. And so
the band's not good, or he himself
is like, I'm just not that good at playing guitar.
I'm actually not a good musician.
Yeah. So he grew up playing guitar. He wanted to be a musician, realized at some point he wasn't going to make it.
Okay.
And decided to go into restaurants.
All right.
Following in the family's footsteps. So he, you know, takes out a small business loan. He starts this like club. It's more of a club than a restaurant at first. They have food, but it's mostly about like playing music and doing those things. You have to be a club at the time to serve alcohol.
Okay.
And he knew that's how he would make the most money.
Mm-hmm.
And using his connections, he was able to do very well for himself.
Yeah.
He grew a small Dallas restaurant club empire.
Nice.
Now, he noticed one night that the most popular drink they served was a blended margarita.
Mm-hmm.
The problem
so back then it was called a blended margarita.
Because you had to blend it in a blender.
And
if you know anything about bartenders, they hate blending drinks.
Yes.
They hate it.
Yeah.
If you ask them to blend a drink on a busy night, they want to murder you.
Also, if you know anything about noises,
Blenders are unpleasant.
Blenders are not the best noise in the world. I'm sure. Especially if you're like trying to listen to music.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody's playing this soulful, you know.
You know, you're dun 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 dun. Ruins your night.
Ruins the night. Yeah. Ruins the night.
Ruins the night.
We're going to get comments about that. Just like the, oh, yeah, exactly. See,
that, what comments imagine, can we get about that?
People hate it when we crosstalk.
Ah, gotcha. Have you gotten that feedback before as I crosstalk over you just now?
Oh, no. We're just like, on some of them, we purposely do it because we're siblings.
Yes.
Anyway, so he realizes that they're wasting so much time and have to hire more bartenders to keep up with demand for these blended margaritas that there's got to be a better way. Mm-hmm. So he's thinking about how he's going to make a solution for this problem. Heads down to the local 7-Eleven. He's thirsty. Yeah. It's hot. It's Dallas.
A Dallas Corporation, by the
Dallas
way.
Dallas Corporation. Grabs himself a Slurpee and thinks, hey,
light bulb,
this is frozen. And all I had to do was pull a little lever and I've got this giant frozen beverage. Took 5 seconds, was very quiet. He's inquiring about how these Slurpee machines work and trying to figure out if he can purchase one. 7-Eleven is like, I don't know if we want you purchasing one of our like patented machines or anything.
7-Eleven was like, it's the 80s and there's a lot of Coke in your restaurant. So we're gonna not touch it.
Yeah. We like meth in the back. We're not much of a Coke up front. We're meth in back.
T-shirt.
Coke up front. Uncle Laser would wear that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he ends up buying a used ice cream machine. Tinkers with it a little bit, using his background and tinkering with things.
Using his immigrant, background and tinkering with things.
Anyway.
I saw what you meant. I just said it.
Thank you for laying it out there for everybody.
You're welcome.
So he ends up being able to make the world's first frozen margarita machine. Puts it front and center at his club. And because he's able to serve those drinks to everybody so quickly, it explodes. He uses his nightclub connections.
Yeah.
Business grows like wildfire. Ultimately opens like the most popular restaurant in Dallas, all built around frozen margaritas.
That's awesome.
And that is why he is our badass of the week, because he introduced and made popular and widespread the drink that would eventually become the drink of Texas.
The state drink
of Texas. The state drink of Texas.
And I can't say it enough. Suck it, Jimmy Buffett. That is awesome.
That does not rhyme. That's nice.
Thank you.
I like that. Did you work? Do you do a comedy podcast?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Every now and again?
Yeah. Did he patent a machine eventually, or did he just like...
So it never got patented.
Okay.
And which was, you know, double-edged sword, right? Yeah. Like, he never patented the machine, so other people eventually caught on.
Sure.
But because of the contribution he gave to the world at large, they ultimately put the machine, like we said in the last episode, in the Museum of Natural History in the Smithsonian. Yeah. So it is on display, the original one.
Which is crazy.
It's amazing.
I love that.
And he even said, like, I wasn't out to, like, make a ton of money on this.
To literally change the game.
I just wanted to bring frozen margaritas to everybody.
Yeah, and make more money.
And make more
because,
money.
Because, you know, back to so much time was being wasted. Given toward blending.
Yeah.
Now you just... I also love knowing that now in the Smithsonian, when the trash that is cruise people are in the Smithsonian, they can see the machine and have something for themselves.
Right.
You know, because everything else is above their head. But then they see that and they're like, hey, it's like the one that was on. It's like the one that was on the cruise.
Hey, Deborah, check it out. Check it out. Just like Hawaiian shirt button string. Yeah,
and like the belly button sticking out.
Sure. Just
like
a little bit.
The type of people who ride scooters in the grocery store.
Because they have to.
Are probably on a scooter in the Smithsonian, and we'll see that, and it's something for them.
Are we bad people?
Probably.
Probably, right?
Yeah, we contain multitudes.
We contain multitudes, yeah.
It's a joke. That's a joke.
It's a joke. We don't contain multitudes. We're very simple.
It's a joke. I don't actually mean most of what I just said. And look, if you're offended by the cruise ship joke, stop getting on cruises. That's all I can tell you.
I'm actually really jealous of a couple of my friends right now. They went on a National Geographic cruise. And
okay, that sounds more fun.
They're in the Galapagos checking out giant tortoises. So that's kind of dope.
That sounds different.
Right?
Than a carnival cruise.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean?
I just feel like if you're going to call yourself a carnival cruise, you have to have an elephant on board. That's all.
And if not...
A trapeze, at least.
Yeah, or all of it. You all should have a circuit. This is false advertising. How many people do you think book a carnival cruise?
And they're like, it's a carnival.
Again, I'm not commenting on the intellect of cruise ship people, but how many people do you think show up on a cruise ship like, wait, Where's the ringmaster?
Where's the ringmaster?
Where?
Oh, is that the ringmaster? No, that's the captain. Ringmaster.
Ringmaster. Wait, where's the circus?
Not sponsored by Carnival Cruises.
Where are the candy apples? It's Carnival Cruise. The Carnival
Cruise. Right.
Oh, my gosh. So many nuances here.
Oh, man. We've got three new designs on the website.
Three, baby.
If you guys want to support Texish, the best way you can do that right now, aside from liking, reviewing, and sending this to your friends, is buying a t-shirt. Please support us. Support our straight Nelson 2024 ticket.
So, we are starting a presidential campaign on behalf of two of our favorite
artists. To be fair.
It's write-in, but I think it could work.
I think it could work.
Because here's the thing. These guys are younger than most of the guys we've had in this office for the last 10 years anyway. Yeah. But it is a straight Nelson 2024 presidential campaign t-shirt. Go purchase that. We also have the Don't In-N-Out My Whataburger t-shirt. That's available. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the Don't Mess With Austin t-shirt, but it's overlaid on the state of California. So, you know, we're throwing some jabs out there. We're having fun. That is also a way that you can support Q6 Media. Those are the amazing people that help get our clips together, have helped grow this podcast to the point that we could even think of trying to sell shirts on a bigger level. So go purchase those shirts, texishpod.com, or on our Instagram, view shop. That's how you can see the shirts. Go purchase them. We'll send them your way. Cruises are a summer activity, though.
Cruises are a summer activity. And speaking of,
currently undeniably summer. It is because it's
so hot.
Hundreds of degrees outside.
Thousands of degrees.
Barry, this is the hottest June on record in Austin.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Good for you guys.
Good for us.
I love summer.
I appreciate the longer days.
I love summer so much. And we've made some good memories in the summer. And 4th of July tends to have a lot of good memories for people. 4th of July is coming up. And I'm curious to know, what are some of your favorite summer and or 4th of July memories?
We have so many to choose from. 4th of July was always a great time because the neighborhood would gather together.
Well, not just the neighborhood.
Well, the whole city. I'm going to go backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of my favorite parts was always going out into the pasture and having all the dads set up the fireworks.
Yep.
Because now that I'm in my 30s, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, y'all are just kids. Yep. Like, this is your chance to be a child.
This was the one time that being a dad was fun.
You weren't trying to keep us safe by telling us to back off. You were trying to have fun for yourself.
Yeah, you were actually trying to enjoy yourself.
So, like, Charlie Moore and Dad and all, you know, Red, all these guys setting up all these Roman candles and stuff and just setting things off and watching it explode.
So
there's something really pure about that.
Yeah, there's also something so small town. Like, we're so lucky. We're from so that lucky perspective from that, city fireworks shows are cool.
They're great.
But not many people have the experience of driving out into the pasture with the neighborhood families, laying down the tailgates, opening up the back of the Suburban, sipping on a lemonade or a fruit punch or a Capri Sun.
And watching 100% sober adults.
Totally sober adults set off fireworks for hours on end. Like,
it's like their Christmas.
Leading up to 4th of July, where are the Weissmans going? Where are the Gillespies going? Which field are you at?
Which fireworks
are we going to? Everyone's coordinating, which fields are we going into?
I can still smell the gunpowder when you go to the fireworks stand. It's really actually kind of an incredible sense of memory.
Well, the best part is one time, and we were little kids. And you build, right? The whole point of this process is to put on your own show.
Yeah.
So the dads are building toward the big stuff. You start with the one-shooters, and then you get to the big things where there's multiple shots going off, the big $100 boxes that are 5 minutes worth of big mortar shells going up in the air and exploding. And we get to probably the next to last big box.
Yeah.
So the biggest one is yet to come. But I mean,
we're on the penultimate box.
We're going to light one fuse and see about 30 shots go off.
Yeah.
It's been a little windy and all the neighborhood kids are watching. We're at a safe distance.
Yeah.
And as soon as the fuse ends, a gust of wind knocks it over toward the dads are off to the side behind it. All the moms and the kids, it just flips it toward us and it becomes the beaches of Normandy.
Pandemonium.
And Andrews, I mean, people are running all different directions. Mm-hmm. Shots are going into the backs of people's Suburbans. I got hit in the back of the head with an actual firework.
Everybody got hit by something.
It was one of those moments that
you had
probably
a couple holes in the back of your shirt.
Lasted 5 seconds, but it felt like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, the moms are pissed at the dads,
so mad,
even though they
and
had
the
no
dads
control
are trying their best not to laugh.
They're like, oh my God, are you okay?
You guys okay? Well, again, I love being married now and knowing the dynamics better of the moms are pissed at the dads, even though clearly no one kicked over the fireworks.
Right. Thing. They got to be mad at somebody.
Wind came and knocked it over, and now the mom has to be mad at something.
Sure.
So instead of Mother Nature, because they're feminists, they go towards the dad. So that was a fun little memory in the fields of West Texas.
My other favorite thing about 4th of July is the 4th of July picnic that they hosted every year.
Yeah.
And we had champion turtles.
Yeah. This is something
that I found later.
It's not just uniquely a small town. No. This is our town was the only town that did this.
I mean, there have to be others. And sure. I have encountered turtle races in other places.
Okay. That rhymed.
Thank you. However, I'm the only person I've ever encountered that has this as a core part of their memory.
We might be some of the only champion turtle breeders on the planet.
In Texas, at least.
Yeah.
Because the turtle races were like the biggest part of the entire 4th of July thing. That was what you went for.
And again, small town.
Small town.
4th of July picnic, it's the whole town. You're seeing kids from school that you haven't seen since the last day of school.
Yeah.
Everyone's in the middle of town.
Oh, yeah.
For the 4th of July picnic.
You're throwing baseballs to dunk the preacher. Yeah. You're having watermelon seed spitting contest. Uh-huh. There's like
hot dog eating contest.
You're buying stink bombs. And You're making moms mad as you're doing it.
You're throwing the cracky
snapdragons. Yeah. And then finally, there's the turtle races.
Yeah, and there's different heats.
You paint your turtle shell so you know which one's which. Yeah,
and no one can claim.
Nobody can claim.
Yep.
And so what you would do throughout the year is look for turtles.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw a turtle on the side of the road, you pulled over and picked it up. Because that could be your ticket.
Yes, we have been on the way home from Midland, Texas, going 80 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And our mother has pulled over. To pick up a turtle on the side of the road.
And so we had this little side yard. It wasn't like big enough to be a backyard. It just had a small patio and some grass. And so we would just put turtles back there.
Yep.
And eventually those turtles made other turtles.
Yeah. So.
And the thing is, the turtles that we had, one year we won the whole thing.
Yeah.
But all of our turtles always did well.
Yep.
So we bred the fastest turtles in the nation.
Andrews County history.
In the nation.
At one point we counted 37 turtles.
Definitely not 37 anymore, but at one point.
There were 37 turtles. There was a lineage of race turtles.
Yeah.
In our side yard. And so to explain it more, here's how it works.
All the kids would gather around
a horse or cow trough. Mm-hmm. So the circular cowboy poles that all you rich Austin people have.
We use those to cover turtles.
We use those. You cut out the bottom of it and put it in a certain, like this little circle. Mm-hmm. So there's the circle that the trough is in. You put the turtles in there. There's an outer ring, probably about 10 feet away from that smaller circle. Put the turtles in there, lift up the bottomless cow trough.
Whatever turtle
gets across the outer line first wins. And again, you would paint the turtle shell. Uh-huh. You would feed it lettuce and carrots leading up to it.
Little cooking.
And you would think you had control over this.
You have no control over this.
No, they're turtles.
They're turtles.
Some people would literally duct tape a piece of lettuce on a string in front of it. So they're...
Forgetting turtle can extend their necks.
I loved the turtle races.
Mom still feeds the turtles.
I know. Well,
when she goes out, they're like, hey, what's up?
Hey, you still here?
She calls it Jurassic Park.
Well, our mom has told us stories of she'll be in the kitchen here scratching at that door and she'll open it and the turtles are there waiting for food.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
I love the turtle races.
And then the other part about summer that was always kind of cool is summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 weeks out of the summer that mom and dad got to be alone.
Yep.
Which is why we were sent there.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, we ended up going to a really cool summer camp.
We went to the best summer camp on the planet.
The one you actually worked at after the
for
fact.
Years. I worked there for 5 summers. Yeah. I loved it there. I still love it there. I would, if they called me right now and said, you got to stop podcasting, but you can come work here. I would think about it.
Okay.
Think about it. I would ask, can I keep podcasting? But can I work there?
Dude, I feel like we could put a studio there.
They probably don't want our podcast on the property.
I mean, that's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
We went to a Christian youth camp for the record.
Yes.
And so some of this content's a little dicey for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, ask me why I wasn't hired.
Why were you hired?
In my interview, they asked me, what would you do if a camper started talking to you? And I was like, hey, I don't really know if I believe in all this. And I was like, you know what?
fair. I don't know that I believe in all this sometimes. And I saw, like, I saw the like.
It's like, uh-oh.
Oh, I was supposed to say something different.
At least you were honest.
I was on. I couldn't lie.
Yeah.
And I, like, sort of tried to save it, but I was like, he's a kid. I'm not going to lie and be like, I know all about God. And be like, you know, I struggle a lot, too, and the Bible has a lot about people struggling. But, you know, sometimes I don't think I believe in God. Yeah. And that was the wrong thing to say.
Sure. I'm also sure you were just as well presented when you said it as just now.
Yeah. For sure.
At 16 years old?
You know. I was so well presented.
Were you a little aggressive with it?
I wasn't aggressive at all.
Were you a little antagonistic?
I had zero antagonistic.
But, I mean, on a real note. I am glad you were honest about that, because I did work out there.
Yes.
And there were some counselors that didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And it made me
mad. It shows. And it, like,
because, you know, you are in a position where
that happens.
You know, it's probably going to be better if you do believe in this. It's cool if you don't, but be honest.
Be honest.
That you don't end up out here, you know, smoking weed on the property when we're trying to, like,
lead some children.
Kids, you know, there's actually
implications. If you're going to smoke weed, do it off the property.
That's
all we're asking.
Yeah, that's,
but summer camp as a whole was one of the best parts of the year, typically.
I love summer camp so much.
Just like, you get to be free. You, like, run around. You're playing sports. Parents. You got teams. No parents. Staying up late, eating candy.
Yep. Yeah. Here's how summer camp
dances.
Because this never registered with me.
Sure.
When you're a camper, you think there are adults.
Right.
You think the people working there are getting paid money, and this is their job, and, like, they have it all figured out. That there are adults in charge.
Meanwhile,
by the time I'm on staff, my last year there, I was on central staff, which is the leadership staff.
Yeah.
People have days off. I was 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There was one day where somehow everyone on central staff except for me had a day off.
Yeah.
So for 12 hours at 21 years old, I was completely in charge of a bunch of 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds, and high schoolers.
Yeah.
If someone died, it was my responsibility.
Right.
If someone was making out in the field, my responsibility. I had a moment. I had a moment where I realized, oh, wow. Our parents sent us here.
Yeah.
And
I'm the one in charge.
And there were nights where there were kids like me in charge of the entire operation.
Yeah.
Freaking wild.
Man.
I love summer camp.
Dude, one of my biggest regrets is not working there.
It was the best.
I know that I missed out.
To this day, the best job I've ever had was working at summer
camp. What's your favorite camp memory? As a camper and as a counselor.
As a camper. Oh, my gosh. I mean, accepting the Lord as my savior.
You did it there?
2008, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, as far as actually accepting it. Sure. Yeah, I did the Baptist church.
Sure,
you got baptized. I don't want to get baptized. But as far as actually becoming a believer in Jesus Christ, that happened at that camp. I probably should bleep that. I don't know if they want us to say their name. Lady Lodge Youth Camp. That's where
What did your wife call it?
What do you mean?
Because, like, in Lady Lodge, theoretically, like, loose with the rules.
Oh, Shady Lady.
Shady Lady. Yeah. There you go. Shouts out Shady Lady.
I love Shady Lady. I love that it's Shady. Man. But favorite memory as a camper, probably, I mean, the one that sticks out right now is actually my first night ever at camp. I mean, I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
You had told me about sneak outs and all this stuff. And at this camp, the counselors convince you that there's a position at camp called Bush Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ex-Navy SEAL people, like, hiding in the bushes with airsoft guns and slingshots. And if you sneak out, especially without counselors, their job is to take you out. Not send you home, take you out. But there's organized sneak out. So if your counselors wake you up, it's totally okay.
Totally fine.
So my first night, we go on a sneak out. And I just remember thinking, this is the coolest moment of my life, because we're sneaking through camp, we sneak to a waterfall and, like, get initiated into Zion. That was our cabin. And we're sneaking out. And what I now realize is the older camp, Echo Valley, was having a river party.
Yeah.
But they were like, guys, get down. Bush Patrol's having a party.
Yeah.
And you could hear the music and the splashing over there. And I remember getting in bed that night and thinking, this is the coolest place ever.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, from that night on,
you were hooked.
Lady Lodge is my home. I proposed to my now wife out there. Yeah. I have spent a lot of my formative years out there. My favorite memory as someone on staff, It's low-hanging fruit, but when my last position I had out there, I was the programmer.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning it was my job to come up with all of the events and skits and schedule for the day and like all the things that make camp run, the whole thing. And we had a theme one session called The Chronicles of Narnia. And we had cast this vision of we're going to build a ramp and ride bikes off into the river.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, including the older people, the actual staff members, were like, no, you're not.
The adults who ran the adults who ran whose the
job is to
part.
Say, yeah. do not build a
the
ramp.
The only adults at the camp.
Yeah. We built a ramp.
Yeah.
And like rode our bikes off it into the river. And to this day, no one's been allowed to do that again.
Nice.
Really, that whole summer is my favorite memory because mm-hmm. we did so many things that I have been told by multiple people was awesome and is never allowed happened. To happen again.
And that's why you're my
what
brother.
What was your favorite memory as a camper?
Okay, man. Every session, you have rodeo. Yep. And rodeo is without a doubt my favorite part of camp. Mm-hmm. Yep. All my favorite memories are around tackling steers.
Yep.
Calves. Learning how to
we saw calves. What steer can do to people.
Tackling calves, learning how to two-step,
yep.
and drinking too much root beer. Like there is something so incredibly wonderful and special about mm-hmm. getting divided up into teams,
yep.
screaming your butt off for your team.
Yep.
Go Rangers.
Tejas, baby.
Dude, Tejas can suck it.
Dude, the Rangers are garbage.
The Rangers. Rangers. R-A-N-G-E-R-S. Anyway,
I can't believe you remember
yeah, man.
This.
So Rangers, in my years,
yeah.
was almost always on top. We yeah, won the Spirit Award every year.
It became the Bounty Hunters.
It became the Bounty Hunters after I left. Sort of but Rangers always won the Spirit Award. Tejas usually won the Cody Award, which was the actual rodeo.
And we still kept winning.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust me, while I was involved, Tejas kept winning the Cody Award.
I just imagine Gunner drop kicking a calf.
Dude, I had...
Because he's like, I will not
when
lose.
When it came to game time, I would yeah. kick over campers.
There's,
I did
there's
not
a
care.
Photo of you somewhere, like Spartan kicking with a spear like a camper.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was planned out.
I know,
yes.
I know. But yeah, yeah, exactly.
The best was counselor versus camper dodgeball was... Because there's always
there's that one
you
kid.
You love all the kids, but there's that one kid that you think for 10 days, man, when we get to guy-girl split and we play tennis ball, dodgeball, I'm going to dome rock you.
Your parents are going to hate me.
Yep. Well, your parents probably hate you, and that's why the way you, the
that's
way
why,
you are.
That's why, yeah.
And I see why they hate you, and I'm going to absolutely break your nose.
I'm going to cause a little trauma in your life.
Yeah.
Because clearly somebody has to.
And it's going
to
be blunt force.
anyway, rodeo night was always my favorite night. It was the best.
Yeah. Well, you also won John Wayne Wrestling 4 years in a row.
4 years in a row.
Yeah, I mean, you're not mentioning a key detail here.
I wasn't going to say it.
For the 4 years that you were in the older kid camp, uh-huh. which is I think eighth grade to juniors.
Is that what it is?
Kids about to be in eighth grade to kids about to be juniors. Yeah. John Wayne Wrestling was when they would put, you know, a rope, they would make mm-hmm. a rope into a circle.
Yeah.
And you had to put your hands behind your back and clasp your hands. And the goal was to either knock people over mm-hmm. or knock them out of the ring. But
either
the rodeo
way.
Clowns are making the rope ring smaller as it's happening. Unclasp your hands, you're out. Fall down, you're out.
Yeah.
Get knocked out of the ring, you're out. You won 4 years
four
in a
years
row.
In a row.
That had never happened before.
Yeah.
Just want to point that out.
Anyway.
Also, the fact that
I had a lot of anger.
John Wayne Wrestling is one of the funniest.
It's one of the funniest things. Yeah.
That, I love hearing camp stories from other
right.
camps too. Just all the weird.
All the weird stuff you do.
It
that
seems
becomes,
so
that
normal
tradition.
In that little atmosphere.
And then you zoom out and you're like, that was
it's
weird.
Like
that was weird.
It's like turtle racing in the middle of your
yeah.
town. This is normal,
this is
right?
normal, right? Everybody does it? No?
Nope.
What?
All right, I'll
all
shut
right.
up now.
Yeah, yeah.
LOL. Other favorite summer vacation memory?
Oh, favorite summer vacation.
Because our family was a summer vacation
We were
family.
A summer vacation family.
That was,
still are.
Still are, yeah.
Dude,
every
honestly, this most recent one where
to
we
Montana.
Went. Dude, that was amazing. The Montana trip was
the Montana trip
so
was
fun.
Awesome.
That was amazing.
Yep.
Even like my back hurt, but then we trekked a million miles. Like
yeah.
Glacier was amazing. Like
oh,
so specific.
Place.
I have a very specific memory, and
okay.
it is my favorite. And it is eating pizza next to Glacier Lake.
That
is my favorite
Iceberg
memory.
Lake.
Iceberg Lake.
Yeah.
That is my favorite memory from that year.
That was awesome. That was so much fun.
That was so much fun.
This is horrible. My favorite memory was when I made mom really mad and spent an hour apologizing for things throughout the years.
It got progressively funnier.
Eventually, she broke.
Everybody's blood sugar was all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a fun car ride.
Right.
That was the moment when we realized, like, maybe we shouldn't do activity-based vacations.
Right. Maybe activity-based vacations are over.
Yeah, or we just need to make...
Or we split activities.
We need to make agendas.
There's an activity that we all do. Because, like, the boat day was great.
That was so fun.
And everybody had an equal amount of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and the hikes were fun.
The hikes were amazing.
It was getting to the hikes
that was always
that were not fun.
Less than optimal.
Less than great. Yeah. Less than great. Yeah. What about from a kid? Like, favorite vacation as a kid?
Vermejo.
Oh, I miss Vermejo.
Vermejo was amazing.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I'm amazed we didn't kill each other on those car rides.
Well, not me and you specifically.
Just the whole family.
Well, we did have the classic. We had the one classic. If you make one more noise, we will pull over.
We will pull over.
And I think I literally went, noise. No. And I got a spanking.
You got a spanking.
They pulled over.
They kept the promise.
I mean, our spankings were spaced far enough apart that I think sometimes there was one spanking that was like, here's one for the 10 you should have had.
You should have had.
And then here's three more for what you just did.
Yeah.
So fun.
There was the wind up one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh,
I love summer.
I can't wait to hit kids.
It's going to be. Oh, my gosh. Bare hand or with a switch?
Oh, man. Depends on the age.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, bring shaming and corporal punishment back.
I miss it.
That's all.
Take it out of the bedroom and into your real life.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, those the city council guys that will go to city council meetings and talk about like party. They're like surfers.
Oh, yes. I love those guys. They're amazing.
I want to start going to school.
Council.
We need to keep house parties going. My first party with my water polo captain, Boomer Kingsley, was the best moment of my life. I want to start doing that with school board meetings.
Okay.
Because school board meetings are open forum.
They're open forum too.
And I want to go up with
school
like,
board. One of my formative memories is getting the crack kicked out of me by my coach. And I feel like I'm a better person for it.
School board. I just need to bring to your attention that coaches are not wearing short shorts anymore. Here's why we need to keep doing that. We missed the bulge, okay? That's how we knew who was gay and who was not. Now we're in the locker room and don't know what's happening. Please bring back the shorts. See,
school
stuff like
board,
that.
Please direct your attention to the projector screen and I will walk you through my presentation on why higher socks should be required.
School board, I just need to remind you that my first exposure to energy drinks was in sixth grade when I was handed a Rockstar energy drink. Over the years, that devolved into meth use, heroin use, and all could have been prevented if it was stocked with just liquid death. Now when I'm touring with my band, Muscle Contusions, I don't go for the rock star anymore. I go for liquid death. See, stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
It's clearly a joke.
Clearly.
But they have no choice but to listen.
They have no choice. They're well structured.
And they're dorks who decided that they should be public servants.
Right.
So it's a whole meta thing.
Listen,
how did we
get
here?
I don't know.
I'm glad I just announced my plan to totally troll school board meetings.
Well, sure, because school board people.
Yeah, you know, they're important.
They're big fans.
Yeah, school's important. what is something you're looking forward to this summer?
This summer? Well, we're deep into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's early-ish.
So this summer, I'm already doing some of the stuff that I really enjoy.
You're paddleboard tan, by the way.
Oh,
I
thanks,
know you've
man.
Been paddleboarding.
I've been paddleboarding. My back's slowly starting to get better.
There
so I'm moving around a little more, walking a little more. What I'm really excited about this summer is having kind of a joint birthday with our friend group.
Yeah.
Chelsea's birthday, mm-hmm. Cabe's birthday, and my birthday are all kind of together.
That'll be fun.
So I think we're just gonna have a really good hang. I'm very, very excited. The other thing I'm the most excited about, and I'm counting it as summer, is your 50-mile Kona race.
Oh yeah, that'll
I'm
be fun.
Super excited about that.
That'll be super
that,
fun.
I'm counting that as my vacation for the year.
Gotcha. Heck yeah. Oh, that's gonna be fun. 50, not 15, by the way.
50. I said 50.
Yeah, oh, it sounded like 15, you know. I was like, hey, it's
I'm fun. Not
look, I'm just
look, Gunner,
hey man.
Point of privilege, point of personal privilege. I would never accuse you of running anything less than a 50 miler. I know that you are an ultra endurance athlete.
Well,
and I believe that you are capable of running so much more. So I know your minimum threshold for a race is at least 50 miles.
Well, here's you could have summed it all like this. I'm just built different.
Bye, y'all.